Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and tomorrow is a very special election day in New York State. Now, not all of us get to vote, but with control of the state Senate on the line, the stakes are unusually high in Westchester County, where an open seat is in play. It's the seat the Democrat George Latimer vacated because he was elected county executive. With the 8 breakaway Senate Democrats from the so-called Independent Democratic Conference ending their alliance with Senate Republicans, the Democrats are close to a 32-31 vote majority if they hold Latimer's seat. So if you live anywhere near Westchester, you've probably seen the ads. Spending has been high. Joe Biden made an appearance. The Times and Daily News endorsed the Democrat, Shelley Mayer. The Post endorsed the Republican, Julie Killian. And now we will hear directly from both candidates with so much New York State policy at stake. Remember, we just did 2 weeks of coverage leading up to the state budget deadline April 1st on all these issues that got gridlocked, from sexual harassment policy to ending bail to all kinds of things. And who knows if the dam isn't about to break. First, Shelley Mayer, Democrat, who's currently in the state assembly. Assemblywoman, welcome to WNYC.
Thank you, Brian. Everyone calls me Shelley. Pleasure to be on.
Do you want this race to be about control of the Senate and the state Democratic Party agenda, or a referendum on President Trump, or what, primarily?
Well, I think first it's about the voters in this district who are entitled to have a progressive activist legislator, and that's what I've prided myself on being for the last 6 years, representing the city of Yonkers, which is no easy feat in the state assembly. So the first thing is that those that live here deserve someone who's going to acknowledge and fight for them, whether it's on ensuring their property taxes don't go up, fighting to have stronger laws on gun violence, the Reproductive Health Act. They have their own issues, and they need someone who's really going to be on top of that. Additionally, having adequate school funding is an issue probably in every school district within this Senate district. So that's the number one thing. The second thing, I think, is the control of the Senate. I believe if the Democrats get the majority, and I hope they will, and I hope we get to a strong majority, we'll be able to do the kinds of progressive things that the Republican majority has continually blocked. And until really the Senate changes, I don't think we're going to be able to do early voting, the Reproductive Health Act, the stronger gun legislation we want, bail reform, the Child Victims Act with the look back. There's so many things that require the kind of values that I think the Democrats have that, frankly, we just have not even had a chance to have a vote on. So I think that's number two. Number three, yes, Trump is a factor here, very honestly. He has excited so many people who have said, we want to participate in local elections. We never did before. We didn't vote in specials. We didn't go canvassing and door-to-door and make phone calls. All of these new people, I have over 2,000 volunteers, many of whom have never been engaged before, and they are energized by their opposition to the style of Trump and the substance of Trump and the style of his campaigning, which unfortunately has permeated this campaign.
I mentioned sexual harassment legislation. A version of that did get through. I know there's more that people want, but your opponent is pointing to your record, not on voting in the assembly, but on failing to pursue sexual harassment complaints in 2010 while you served as chief counsel to Senate Democrats. You followed the pro forma requirements of your job, as I understand it, but with all the men getting caught for past errors of judgment in the Me Too era, do you not need to be held to higher standards for past behavior too?
Well, I think the answer to that is, one, the policy then and the policy now that the Senate Republicans have again adopted is that really only one person has the control and the authority to make human resources decisions, and that's the Secretary of the Senate, who's appointed by the majority of the senators. I mean, it's ridiculous. Anyone who works knows you can't have that kind of person be the sole person. You need an outside investigatory agency. We actually have that in the Assembly. So I feel badly about what happened to these women. I felt badly then. That was 8 years ago. They came to me, I think, because they thought I was an empathetic person, not that I had authority. And I did my best. Was it good enough? Unfortunately, no, because this person, the Secretary of the Senate, did not do what was right and did not conduct, I don't believe, an independent investigation. I'll continue to fight for women. That's been my life's work. And I look forward to hopefully one of the first things we do is change the sexual harassment and employment discrimination policy in the Senate. It cannot rest with the Secretary of the Senate.
The Senate Democratic leadership of Malcolm Smith and John Sampson also faced corruption charges during your time as chief counsel. That was one of the main reasons that that independent Democratic conference, that breakaway Democrats group, formed in the first place, because the leadership was so dysfunctional at that time. So did you fail in that respect?
No, I don't think so. You know, I was the lawyer responsible for what happens on the floor. I was never their personal lawyer. I was never involved with anything. I feel good about what I did. I held myself to the highest legal standards and professional standards and have been very successful running for the assembly without opposition, I would note, for the last three times or four times. And, you know, I know I have a history and a lifelong reputation for my integrity. And it's one of the things that's so offensive about this race is they've sort of used this Trump-style insult and innuendo rather than talking about issues. Issues is what voters want to talk about, and that's what I've been focused on.
Can anything be done about the corruption in Albany that you would support? Are there specific ethics reforms you propose, like banning outside legal work or anything else?
Yes. I am for a ban on outside income. I've supported that. I believe there should be campaign finance reform, like LLC loopholes should be closed. If we can change campaign finance, we can make it so that people are less looking for outside money to influence their vote. I'm for stronger disclosure requirements. I'm for limitations on leadership, how long they last there. So, yes, there's a number of things we can do and we ought to do. And I was a leader in the fight against Sheldon Silver, once indicted, and I worked very closely with then-Senator Schneiderman to bring the proceeding against Hiram Montsrat, which has never been done before, that we kicked out someone for domestic violence and a misdemeanor conviction. So there's much more we can and should do. But let's not take away, Brian, from the terrific young new members of the legislature. You know, I sit in a row in the assembly with two incredible young women from Queens, and there's so many like that on both sides of the aisle who bring their values and their commitment to their communities. And, you know, yes, there's corruption, and people should have gone to jail and should go to jail, and that's the way our system works. And as a lawyer, I strongly support that. But I do not paint everyone there with that same brush.
When you said leadership limits, do you mean term limits for people who are a speaker or that kind of thing?
Yes, I believe there should be a length of time for both committee chairs and leadership, a length of time during which they serve and then an end to that.
Let me get your positions on a couple of other potential statewide issues. Legalize recreational marijuana, yes or no?
Neither yes or no. I have not made up my mind. I have an open mind. I want to see some of the research from other states. I'm of mixed minds.
Would you vote for New York State single payer? That's just a vote or two away in the Senate.
Well, I'm a sponsor of it in the Assembly.
That answers that question. Would you vote for a one-year look-back period where anyone with a sexual assault allegation could bring the case even if the statute of limitations has run out?
I strongly support that, and the Assembly is going to do that, and the Senate should have done that. That should have been in the budget, in my opinion.
And would Mayor de Blasio wants to raise the New York City income tax slightly on people in the city who make over $1 million a year, but he needs the state legislature's approval. Would you vote to give it to him?
I think I would defer to the New York City Council on a home rule and see if the people who represent the taxpayers of New York City, what they want. That would be my first order of business there.
All right. Now, before you go, You're from Yonkers, while
yes,
your opponent,
proudly so.
And your opponent is from Rye. The district spans Yonkers to Rye. Very different socioeconomically. Do you think you can represent the voters across the district?
Oh, absolutely. First place, born and bred in Westchester, lived 18 years in White Plains, which is part of the district. Served as the Assistant Attorney General in charge of the Westchester Regional Office of the Attorney General. I think I feel comfortable in every part of this district from Yonkers to Bedford. And I really think it would be an extraordinary opportunity to have the honor to serve with the kind of passion and enthusiasm I have for the people of this district and to be in George Latimer's tradition.
Take a minute and tell the voters anything you want to tell them as your out-the-door elevator pitch.
Well, I appreciate the opportunity to be on your show, which I listened to for so long. I think this is an incredibly pivotal election for the future of New York State. I believe that with Senator Andrea Stewart-Cousins as the Democratic leader, we are really going to be able to make meaningful, progressive change and stop some of the Trump policies that really are going to have a terrible adverse effect on New York. So I look forward to Democratic leadership and an activist legislator who's going to represent this district.
Well, thank you very much for joining us, and good luck, Shelley Mayer, as I will wish good luck to your opponent, too, in this race. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Brian. Bye-bye.
And listeners, if you're just joining us, tomorrow is a very special election day in New York State, because even though there aren't elections statewide, control of the New York State Senate is on the line, so the stakes are unusually high for this open seat in Westchester County that's in play. We just heard from the Democratic candidate, and I'm joined now by former Rye Councilwoman Julie Killian, the Republican candidate in that special election. Ms. Killian, welcome to WNYC.
I don't hear. Is he saying Ms. Killian? Because I don't hear him.
I am. Can you hear me? We should be able to fix this in just a second. Julie Killian about to join us with the Republican take. And listeners, you may know that there's so much at stake in New York right now. There's so many issues that are bottled up in the state legislature because the Republicans have control of the Senate while the Democrats have control of the Assembly. If this election goes to the Democrats, it makes it much easier for them to flip the whole Senate to their majority, in fact, just one vote away. And various issues, which we'll continue to talk about now with the Republican candidate, could have different outcomes. But do the people of Westchester's 37th district want that? Julie Killian, I think you can hear me now.
I can now. Thank you.
Thanks so much for joining us.
I'm so happy to be here.
And I'll start with the same question I asked your opponent. Do you want this race to be about control of the Senate and the state Democratic agenda that you think the voters want to hold off? Or anything else in particular?
Well, I think the most important thing is that this race is about the issues that are facing Westchester and New York. And those are, you know, affordability, opportunity, and security. And I absolutely believe that New York is at a tipping point where we have such high taxes, high corruption, and we're just making it increasingly unaffordable for people. And that's what I hear every day when I go around in the district. And that is the thing that I'm going to be focused on if I am lucky enough for them to send me up to Albany.
So what's an example of something that you fear the Democrats would do if they had full control that's not in the economic interests of your constituents?
Well, raise taxes, certainly. When they were in control in 2009 and 2010, they raised taxes $14 billion, came up with 123 new taxes and fees. That's when we got the job-killing MTA payroll tax and the 18A utility tax and the gap elimination adjustment, which took, for Westchester, took $377 million out of our schools. And then they took away the STAR exemption. And, you know, for seniors, that's incredibly important. And I'll just say again, I hear every day when I walk around the district, people are really desperate about the taxes and feeling like they can't stay here, they can't retire here, but many of them don't know where to go. And it's really heartbreaking. And that's what I'm really focused on, you know, the affordability and, you know, keeping our citizens safe.
The Democrats are painting this as a vote against President Trump. Do you approve of the president's policies, or where do you part company with him as it affects Westchester?
You know, I always say to people, I want any president to be successful, because if the president's successful, that means our nation is successful. But, you know, I there's some policies that come out of Washington, and if they're good for Westchester and New York, I'll support them. And, you know, if they're not good, then I push back. And certainly the SALT deduction has been a huge problem for New York. But, you know, I'm a big I'm a big common sense regulation person, and I know that on a national level they have really worked on trying to get, you know, get rid of the regulations that don't work and make things, you know, cleaner and easier to know, you know, what rules to follow and how to do business, because that's another big problem in New York. We have 750,000 business regulations, and I often find, particularly in the small businesses that don't have an infrastructure to know what all the rules are and to have any kind of compliance, that they get fined often for things that sound pretty stupid to most of us. So that's another big focus of mine.
So you're against the way the tax cuts came down, because they're really tax increases for a lot of people in your district?
Let me be specific on that. I am against getting rid of the SALT deduction. The good things that came out of that tax bill were the brackets were widened and the rates were lowered. They also increased the child tax credit, and they increased the you could make more money and still take that tax credit. So that is really going to help a lot of people and hopefully make up somewhat for the SALT deduction. But in Westchester, I think it's 53% of the people do not itemize, so the SALT deduction will not be an issue. Not having it will not be an issue for them. And, you know, I'm hoping with the rest that we can the other changes will make up for it. But really, the reason that's an issue is because our taxes are so high. So that's why I'm 100% focused on reducing the taxes and getting out the corruption in New York, because that's another thing that makes it so expensive to live, work, and do business here.
So you would have voted yes on that package, if you were a member of Congress?
You know what? There's a lot of things in that talk log. So, I mean, you know, it's a big hypothetical. Is there things in it that were good? Yes. Things in it that weren't good for us. So I am disappointed that our 29 elected representatives didn't get in a room and make it happen. I think some of them just walked away from it and said, let happen. And they should have been down there fighting for us.
Right. But ultimately, there was a bill to vote yes or no on. You don't want to say whether you would have voted yes or no?
Listen, there's thousands of pages in that tax law, so I don't want to commit. I'm not down in Washington. I'm 100% focused on what's happening in Albany, and I hope to go up there and make some hard decisions on bills up there.
On some other Trump issues as they pertain to New York, should New York declare itself a sanctuary state?
No, I do not think so. Right now, there is such I am in total support of our law enforcement. I think one of the things that does is make our law enforcement unsafe and therefore making our citizens unsafe. I'm very worried. We did work on in our city, and when I was on Rye City Council, about some legislation, and we actually ended up putting some of our procedures and policies. I do not believe we should use taxpayer money to go and round up anybody. So that is off the table for me. But I do think we need to, you know, if someone commits a crime, you know, they should receive, whether they're illegal or legal, they should receive the penalties of the law as stated. And there shouldn't be any difference, no matter, you know, what your status is. But absolutely, we should not use any kind of taxpayer money to round up. And I haven't seen that happening in Westchester, which is a good thing.
To round up or to protect? In other words, do you...
Well, I'm saying you don't go around and just ask people, you know, whether or not they're citizens. You know, if you're law enforcement, you do your job. And if someone commits a crime, you know, they should get the full extent of what our law, you know, provides.
Do you support ICE staking out the courtrooms to pull people out for deportation?
I said again, I do not believe we should spend taxpayer money to just randomly round up people. No.
Even federal taxpayer money?
Well, any taxpayer money.
Okay. And one other Trump thing. Democrats say it's the moral responsibility of non-Trump Republicans everywhere, even if you're running for local office like state senator, to denounce his repeated use of bigotry as a political tool and his interfering with the independence of the justice system, asking for loyalty from people like attorney generals and FBI directors. Do you feel you can speak out against that or take a pass on that?
You know, Maybe it's lucky for me, but I have not been able to pay attention to everything that's going on down in Washington because I'm really focused on what's going on here. And I'll be honest with you, I walk neighborhoods every day. I'm at train stations every morning. And I get so few questions about Trump and about national issues because people are really concerned here. And, you know, I had a woman call into the office the other day, 75, and she said, I'm eating less and I've stopped taking all my prescriptions because I literally can't afford to pay my property taxes. So I know the media likes to talk a lot about Trump and national, but I'll be honest with you, most people I see in this district are totally focused on solving what's here, and they're frustrated, we're one of the most corrupt states in the union, and people, state legislators keep being sent to jail. They just, the system is rigged against them, and I think they're going to come out tomorrow and show that, and they're frustrated, and they want change, and they want somebody who's going to go up to Albany, shine the light on it, be independent, be bipartisan, work across the aisle, and get things done, and that's my reputation, and I really hope that everybody comes out tomorrow and supports me to go up there and to be able to do that.
So in the category of walking and chewing gum at the same time, you feel that it is okay to take a pass on commenting on what many people say as the potential destruction of an independent justice system in this country?
You know, I feel like I don't like to comment on things when I don't know the full details of what's happening. And it's very difficult. These laws, these rules, these regulations, it's difficult in Washington. It's difficult in Albany. And I think we need to be responsible and know what's going on before we comment on things. Listen, I've had people commenting across the nation on Twitter about me with things that are completely false. So I think what people in Westchester want from me is to go up to Albany and fight for them for things that we can change in our state.
I understand.
So I don't think people don't want me to be commenting constantly on what's happening in Washington because you need to be focused on what's going on in our state. And that really affects our everyday lives far more than what's happening on a national level. And, you know, I was born here. I'm going to stay here and fight for our state. I have many friends. I'm going to be an empty nester in the fall. I have many friends that are leaving. They're moving to Connecticut. They're moving down south. People are leaving this state, and that really has to stop. We can't have the brain drain. It needs to be a place that's affordable for our seniors and for our kids. And something has to be done. So that's what I'm 100% focused on, and I think there's things up there, some easy things we can do up there, and I think there's a lot of hard things we can do up there. And we need people that are focused on that and not focused. Listen, you know, I'm not running for Congress. I'm running for state senate.
What's the biggest tax change that you would like to see to make life more affordable for people in the district?
Well, first and foremost, get Westchester our fair share of school aid. We get the lowest per student school aid in the state. We get $5,200 per student. Long Island gets $6,400, and New York City $9,600. So that is my first thing that I want to work on, and part of it's just the way the formula is written against Westchester. So that needs to change.
And let me get your take on a few other things before the state legislature. The Child Victims Act died in the Senate last month. I understand that you have a different position on that from your party leaders. Does that mean you would vote for a one-year look-back period where anyone with a sexual assault allegation from when they were a child could bring the case even if the statute of limitations has run out?
I would vote for that legislation, but what I really want to do is go up there and work with my Republican Senate colleagues in trying to come to some agreement so we can get it passed in the Senate also. And I truly believe that going up there with my perspective, which is very much the on the ground, I'm the mother of five, I have a degree in engineering, I worked on Wall Street, I've been very involved in my community for 25 years in a variety, I've been on the board of a soup kitchens in schools, I see what's going on in our local community, I've been very involved in the substance abuse and mental health field, I started a local coalition in Rye, I started back in 2011 before opioids and heroin were in the paper every day, I got federal funding for that coalition. We've done a lot of great things here. And all those perspectives that I have on the ground and what I'm seeing every day, I think will be welcome perspectives up there. And I will work with my Republican Senate colleagues to, give that perspective. And it's, as a parent in particular, it has gotten so much harder to be a parent and so much harder for these kids in the last 5 years. And I think that also will come in with the extremist protection order too, about what's actually happening on the ground and what people really want. want, and I've been on the ground. I know what people want, and I will very much look forward to working with my Senate colleagues to get some things passed.
Is that a yes or a no on the one-year look-back period bill?
Yes, I said at the very beginning that I support that legislation.
Okay, great. Legalize recreational marijuana, yes or no?
Absolutely not. I know my opponents talked about maybe, and we have to look at what's happened in other states. I know what's happened in other states. I see all that research, and the social cost, whatever you get in tax revenue, doesn't even come close to making up for all the social costs. And it's if you look at what's happening in Colorado and Washington, it's really sad. Their rates on teen use of marijuana is 50% higher than national average. Their marijuana-related traffic fatalities up 66%. The drug cartels are in Colorado. Crime has gone up in Colorado, so we absolutely do not need to legalize marijuana. But we should be doing more research on medical marijuana.
Are you for early voting, another bill that got locked up in the state Senate?
I believe in the early voting we already have, which is absentee ballots. I think we should make it easier to do absentees. I don't think we need to spend millions of dollars of taxpayer money to create a new system. So make it easier to get an absentee, make it easier to register to vote, make it easier to change parties, and you know, let's have kids automatically registered when they're 18. So make it easier to register and the absentee. We already have early voting. I just don't think our taxpayers can afford another thing, it's going to cost. They estimate $7 million, but I'm not. I've talked to people at the Board of Elections here in Westchester. They don't know how they could even do it. So I don't think we have the money to do it. So let's make absentee easier. And by the way, many studies show that the states that have early voting have less participation in voting.
And how do you fight the corruption in Albany? Your opponent indicated she would support closing the LLC loophole, which allows unlimited contributions if a person declares himself in that category or herself. More disclosures, also term limits for leadership and banning outside work. She endorsed all of those things in our interview just before you. How many of those are you for, or how else would you fight the corruption?
I am for term limits, and I'm also for term limits on committee heads, and that way we'll get more fresh faces in Albany. I am also for getting rid of the LLC loophole, but none of the legislation out there now goes far enough. I think we should have only individuals can donate, and it has to be completely transparent, and we should probably bring the limits down. But you can't get rid of the LLC loophole and have all these other organizations out there that can donate. So just make it individuals, and we can get rid of it. And we need stronger disclosure on income from spouses and maybe children, and any an investigative body like a J-COBE needs to be a completely independent body and not at all governed by the legislature or the governor. And, you know, one example that that could help is the legislature routinely votes at the beginning of every session to exempt themselves from the FOIL laws, the Freedom of Information laws. When I was on Rye City Council 6 years, every single email I sent, and even some of my personal emails, were subject to the Freedom of Information law. Anybody can see them. The legislature exempts themselves from that. I think that's wrong.
So we'll finish as we did with your opponent by giving you a minute to make your going out the door elevator pitch. Anything you want to say?
Yes. If you like the way Albany is with the high taxes and all the corruption, you should not vote for me, because I want to change things. I'm an Albany outsider, and I want to go up there and focus on the corruption and getting rid of it, focus on our high taxes, and I get things done. When I first got on Rye City Council, there was a big corruption scandal, and I instituted a conflict of interest policy, which has worked incredibly well. I saw a problem in 2011 with marijuana, which is why I started my drug and alcohol coalition that I got federal funding for. So, you know, I see a problem, bring people together, work on solutions and get things done. And we need people up there that are going to get things done. And most importantly, I think I'm not afraid to push back against the powers that be, and certainly even in my own party. I already have pushed back against my own party. We were not in complete agreement on the positions, and I truly believe I can go up there and be a voice for the residents of the 37th District and make some things happen for them and you know, work on lowering our taxes and working on that corruption. We need it. We're at a breaking point in New York. We need new faces up there, new ideas, new perspective, and that's what I can bring.
Julie Killian, the Republican running in Westchester's State Senate District 37 in tomorrow's special election. We heard earlier from her opponent, Democrat Shelley Mayer, an election with control of the state Senate hanging potentially in the balance. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. Really appreciate it. Go vote tomorrow.
And good luck to you, as I wish good luck to your opponent.